You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Western man has no plan since he became complacent. Stop believing in himself, let others steal his rewards while he was dreaming. While he was dreaming, others were scheming, doing deals behind his back. Now Western man is adrift and under attack. What happened in between?
Well, I know we already played that one a little bit earlier before, ladies and gentlemen, a snippet from that. But for the benefit of our featured guest tonight, I wanted to play it again, Van Morrison's Western Man. We'll play some other selections from his new album, The Latest Record Project, that's the name of it, throughout the course of this hour. But first, let's welcome back to the show our good friend, Paul Ramsey, the popular live stream commentator. Great guy, great guest. Happy to have him back with us this evening. How are you, Paul?
Hey, I am wonderful, and I'm so happy. I now officially live in the South. I'm in Arkansas, so it's great to be here, and there's a lot of good people around here. How have you been?
You know, by the way, this is Keith. Are you in the Ozarks or in the Delta?
I'm in the Delta. Ozarks.
You need to run.
I'm in the Ozarks here, so it's really nice. It's a beautiful area, beautiful people and land, so it's a great place.
I actually did want to start with that, Paul, because I, of course, knew that you had moved there and are really enjoying life. And that really is the greatest thing you can do to irk the left is be living a good life and to be happy with your life and to be a happy warrior and to go about doing the things like we do it.
Isn't that the old Spanish proverb, living well is the best revenge?
That's absolutely right. That living well is the best revenge. Thank you. You made it a little more succinct and noteworthy. So let's talk about Arkansas. And not only that, you say you're building a community there. You're getting entrenched. You're sprouting some roots and just doing the Southern thing.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing that we can do. And prepping is important. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of preppers get, food and water, and that's good. But I think one of the best sort of prepping you can do is to get a network of friends and have a community and get together with people on a regular basis. We like to play games. We have a game night and nothing political, just a good fellowship. And I think that's something that we sort of have lost, at least a lot of our people. They're just very isolated. And what's interesting, when you meet with other people, I've had so many people tell me, I've always thought that I was alone, but then I found you, and this is so refreshing. And I think there's more of us than we realize, but because the enemy controls pretty much all the institutions, we feel isolated. And by getting together, that helps to break that apart.
Well, I've often said that ideas and solutions more readily present themselves in person. Now, you can have all of the exchanges online, and it is important to stay in touch with each other by any means available. And obviously the work online has opened up a message to people that otherwise they wouldn't have had if you were reliant upon newspapers and pamphlets and things like that. So that there is a place for that, and it is vitally important, but certainly not more important than what you do in actual life. I mean, we have to live, and we have to go through a day in and day out existence, and it is made a much more much easier if you can share in fellowship and camaraderie with loved ones and friends and even an extended community of neighbors and acquaintances. And so it's really great to know that you're doing that. And of course, we try to do that. There's a community in South Carolina. We did a live broadcast from rural South Carolina back in November, and they are just doing incredible things out there. We did a 3-hour live broadcast, since we're on the topic. And you have a gentleman who had bought some land out there, and on his property he has got a building that has now a reading room and a little makeshift coffee shop, and they do blacksmithing in a separate structure there, and they can cook food there, and people just get together intermittently, and it's grown now to the point that you have hundreds of people now that show up on any given day that they raise up the flag, so to speak, and have an event. And this is just purely organic. It's not an organization. It's not a group that's doing this. It is just a collection of people from the local community that come together and share in this fellowship.
Well, you know,
they're all right-thinking people.
The Ozark seems to be a magnet for this. I have a young couple that goes to my church, and they're expecting. And we put them in touch with a family that we know in that area, and they're basically kind of mentoring them, I think, or possibly will do that. They're trying to move up there and get away from, you know, all of the negatives that you get with urban living, even in a place like Memphis today. So,
I see this as a movement.
Well, just face about it. You know, if you don't want to celebrate diversity, go to the Ozarks.
Well, Paul, let me ask you this. This is an interesting question, and that is, I know that you had moved from Oklahoma, which is, I think, the reddest state in all the Union. I think there's at least must be one blue county in Arkansas, maybe the Little Rock area, although Arkansas is a solidly red, dark red state.
Well, you know you're in a rural state when the largest city in the state has the adjective little in front of it.
But was there a difference in culture or in the people moving from a otherwise conservative area like Oklahoma to rural Arkansas?
I think so. And there are left-wing areas in Arkansas. Actually, I'm in the city of Fayetteville, which is a college town. So that whenever you have a college town, you're going to get those Marxist professors and you're going to have a liberal element. There's no doubt about it. But in the rest of the area around here, though, it's very conservative, and it's similar to Oklahoma. I guess the difference is I just, you know, personally like the Ozark Mountains. There's a little bit more rain here, so it's a little more green, and I prefer that. But the people in Oklahoma are good too, and that's the thing. I think there's good people all over the country. It's just that we need to get together and help support each other, and I think that's the important thing going forward. So anywhere, even people in California, I've met a lot of people in California. They're very right wing and they're good people. So I don't think it's a specific area necessarily. It's more of a mindset. And I think especially we're seeing the division between the big cities and more of the small towns in rural America. And I think the big cities, honestly, are becoming very, very dangerous now. And if you look at what Biden is saying, they don't want to enforce the law on certain types of people, so you could be a target.
And if you defend yourself, you're going to be in front of one of those juries that
exactly.
And see, our jury system is part of our Anglo-Saxon heritage, and it tends to break down and not operate as intended. The fewer Anglo-Saxons you get in the jury pool.
And Paul, I got to tell you, I'm looking at to your point, Paul, about the differences between rural and urban. Even now, I think maybe not more so than north and south. There's still a southern culture that exists that is unique to this geographical area. There's no doubt about it. It's watered down, but it's still different than the surroundings, the rest of America, which is a prerequisite for nationhood. But even in Oregon, the difference between rural and urban, in Oregon is a red state except for Portland, Salem, and Eugene. I'm looking at the map of Oregon.
It's the same way in many states. In the geographic landmass, it's red, but in population.
That's right. Well, in Oregon, seven counties went blue, 25 went red. So the rural Oregonians are a rough and hardy people. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana. That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Wherever the rebels gone, I never heard computers scream. Where the spirit, where the soul? Wherever the rebels gone. For the show, it's not very rock and roll. Where have all of the rebels gone? Where have all the rebels gone? Waiting for someone else to make a move. Why they're sitting on the fence? Well, it's some kind of pretense.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Van Morrison decided
to the Ozarks,
yeah, they're on this show. When Van Morrison decided to make a splash politically, Paul, he didn't hold back. So that was Where Have All the Rebels Gone? The lyrics again being Where Have All the Rebels Gone? Hiding behind computer screens. Where's the spirit? Where's the soul? Where have all the rebels gone? Why don't they come out of the woodwork now? One for the money, two for the show. It's not very rock and roll. Where have all the rebels gone? Waiting for someone else to make a move. Why are they sitting on the fence? Well, it's some kind of pretense. They're not saying much at all. Where have all the rebels gone? That goes along with, again, some of the other tracks from this album, including Western Man, which we just heard a moment ago. Excerpt from that song, Stop Bitching and Do Something, They Own the Media, Why Are You on Facebook? These are all titles from the legendary Van Morrison's newest album. And I know he and Eric Clapton, who have collaborated, and Eric Clapton has shared some of the same sentiments. They've all been ghosted by their famous musician friends. What do you make of it, Paul? Do you think it's significant, or is it a blip in the radar? I think when somebody like Van Morrison, though, comes out, look, I mean, our message is right, no matter if it's just us. We don't need celebrity support. We don't need other people to sanction our message. But
it
you
reminds me of
you
Jonathan Swift. It reminds me of Jonathan Swift's famous comment. He said, when a true genius appears in the world, you will know him by this sign, that all the dunces are in a confederacy against him.
But you do take notice when somebody like this that has had such mainstream success decides to forego it to speak the truth. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think there's more of us than we realize, not just normal people, but also celebrities. But, you know, because everyone knows that you better keep your mouth shut, otherwise you could be banned. In fact, I looked up, is he still on YouTube? But he is, but his days could be numbered, because I don't know if you saw that Biden, he's had this war against domestic terrorism. And domestic terrorism, the attorney general, he came out and said, is no, not Antifa, not BLM. Because I guess my memory is really poor, because I had this memory that there was BLM and Antifa were burning cities all of last year. But I guess that wasn't the case. I guess that was actually the KKK or something. Because the attorney general says it's white supremacists. That's like the real issue. And I know everyone in
disguised as Black Lives Matter activists.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you brought this up, Paul. This was something I wanted to talk to you about, and you've tweeted this out. And this is Attorney General Merrick Garland and his Department of Social Justice has declared white extremists to be the greatest threat in America. And interestingly, the timing. I mean, there's no shortage of black on white murders. But it just so happened that the timing of this announcement came out, as you tweeted about and as you've commented on, that the federal government declares white extremists to be the greatest terror threat in America. At this exact same moment, a black man accused of shooting 5 people during 3 separate shootings in Georgia and Alabama told police that he was specifically targeting white men and that the attacks were racially motivated. I mean, this guy would be a cookie cutter for the Hollywood caricature of what white advocates are. He does it, and it barely makes local news.
Exactly. And I know a lot of probably your listeners, and I'm this way too, you're thinking, well, it's okay. I'm not a white supremacist. I don't believe in that. And that's true. Most of us don't. I've never met a white supremacist. But what they define white supremacy, see, it's not like what you and me would think of white supremacy. They define it as, do you think white people have a right to live? Are we a valuable part of America? If you say yes, they consider that to be a white supremacist position. And I saw that there was, we're speaking of Oregon. It's interesting you brought that up, because there was a poll done by a mainstream newspaper in Oregon. And they're like, oh my gosh, 40% of people in Oregon support white extremist positions.
Yes.
So I'm like, really?
Yes.
And I read the poll. And what they consider a white extremist position is something like, they ask the question, do you think white people also contribute to America and are a valid identity? And they're like, oh, they do. 40% think this. And then they ask, do you think white people are, do you feel as a white person you're discriminated against? And like 40% said yes. And they're like, oh, these are white supremacists to think this. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is
they're real. Everywhere. They're everywhere.
If you're a white man, you're officially discriminated. This isn't a conspiracy theory. I was just talking to a recruiter who recruited for a major pharmaceutical. He since quit, but he told me flat out that they were told any applications, resumes from white men, they were to exclude. So this is happening. It's not a conspiracy. It's a real thing. So just saying that our people should have the same civil rights as any other group, that, according to like the attorney general, is considered white supremacism. So just, you have to understand that, because I think most normal people, when they hear white supremacism, they think, oh, I guess that's like the Ku Klux Klan, whoever they are, I've never met one, are running around the South terrorizing little black children. And no, that's not what they mean by white supremacism.
Well, what they're trying to do, basically, they're trying to update the dictionary. And a lot of white people are living back in the late 50s, early 60s when it comes to what is a white supremacist, what is a racist, things like this. Basically, to simplify things for their coalition of the other, they've now simplified white supremacist and racist as meaning any white person. And this alarms all of the virtue signaling white liberals who thought that somehow they were buying for themselves a dispensation. It's not going to work that way. It didn't work that way in South Africa. When the machete wielding mob breaks into your home, you can point in vain to that NAACP membership certificate or that United Negro College Fund Golden Circle Donor Award. They're going to see that white skin and the machetes coming down. And this is, I really do think that the Democrats and the left generally are trying their darndest to foment a race war. Ramsey, what do you think?
Well, I think we're kind of, they're in a purity spiral now. They're in virtue signaling, and they're even turning on their own now, because it's when they get into this sort of psychology, sort of like a witch hunt, they always have to get more and more radical. And I don't know if you saw, they turned on Tom Hanks, of all people, and he's a leftist, and they said he wasn't anti-racist enough. So they're starting to eat their own. They need villains. So they're trying to scare everyone, saying there's these secret white supremacists everywhere, and there was a secret plot by white supremacists on January 6th to have an insurrection, which is really crazy. But that's the narrative that they're trying to push. And in doing so,
what they're trying to do too on this is that they're, you know, they always go after their allies. You know, the revolution always eats their own. You know, the Bolsheviks.
Yes.
Went after the Mensheviks. The Jacobins.
Yep.
Went after the Girondists. Quite frankly, Van Morrison and us may be safer than Tom Hanks in this new.
Yes.
Purge that they've got going.
Yeah, I mean, Antifa, they have their slogan, the liberals get the bullet first, and they mean that. They're a violent group, and they consider them to be the worst if you're not woke enough. And we're getting into scary times, and that's why we need to support each other. And I'm not pessimistic. I think we're going to win eventually, because without us, they eventually implode. Everything falls apart. But we got to be smart, especially since all white people that are conservative, again, you may not think you're radical or you're not racist, you're not a supremacist. It doesn't matter. The government thinks you are. And with this new war on supremacy, they're trying to pattern it after like the war on terror, and they are putting plans in. I don't know if you saw that Biden wants the public to report on publicly radicalized relatives. This is like KGB type of action.
Hold on right there. Ramsey Paul, everybody, at Ramsey Paul on Twitter, RamzPaul, at Ramsey Paul. Give him a follow. He's always got great takes on any issue that comes down the pipeline. We'll be back with him more right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As the World Health Organization announced this week their intentions to investigate the origins of the coronavirus that has killed millions of people around the world, former CDC director and virologist Robert Redfield on Fox News says the WHO is too compromised by communist China to do the investigation.
I think they were highly compromised. Clearly, they were incapable of compelling China to adhere to the treaty agreements that they have on global health, because they didn't do that. Clearly, they allowed China to define the group of scientists that could come and investigate. That's not consistent with their role.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has called the country's food situation tense, state media reported Wednesday. Opening a Workers' Party Central Committee gathering, Kim claimed the economy had improved this year, with industrial production up 25% from a year earlier. USA Radio News.
UFOs are back in the news, and even the military can't explain these strange UFOs intercepting our ships and planes. Are they a sign of something real, dangerous, or even biblical? Now, Rob Schmidt takes a look at the biggest mystery of our time. Rob's special series, UFOs, Are They Really Here?, airs all this week on Newsmax. Tune in to Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax, now on all major cable systems. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax, or you can switch. Or get Newsmax for free on your smart TVs, Roku, Zumo, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, or more. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. So find out the latest on UFOs with Rob Schmidt and check out Newsmax tonight. It's real news for real people.
As Vladimir Putin and Joe Biden meet in Geneva, former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo on Fox News says Putin knows Biden's weaknesses and will try to exploit them.
Well, he's going to show up loaded for bear, because the evidence of the Biden administration's actions today suggests that'll be successful. whether it was the fact that they re-entered the New START treaty at the very beginning, right, a nuclear treaty they re-entered. We didn't ask for anything. They wanted it desperately, and we gave it up. President Biden went first. He destroyed our energy industry by joining the Paris Climate Accords, an enormous gift to Vladimir Putin. So I expect tomorrow President Putin will press. He will see how far he can push President Biden, and I hope not just in words but in deeds.
Russian warships are conducting the largest military exercise since the Cold War. It's taking place 400 miles off the coast of Hawaii, sending the United States Air Force scrambling Wednesday. The exercises conducted by the Russian Navy include long-range bombers, surface ships, and anti-submarine aircraft. USA Radio News.
They tell us that ignorance is bliss. I guess for those that control the media, it is. They own the media, they control the stories we are told. If you ever try to go against them, you will be ignored, 'cause they control. They control. They control the narrative. They perpetuate the myth. Keep on telling me lies. Tell you ignorance is bliss.
I gotta tell you, the more I listen to this album, the more my eyes pop. I want to thank again TPC friend and listener Stan in Idaho for purchasing this for us and having it shipped to us. Very nice CD. I couldn't help but notice on the back of the packaging here that this CD was manufactured in the Czech Republic. That sounds about right. And that was They on the Media, Van Morrison. We've been talking about him tonight, this new album. So Ramsey Paul, I'm at Van Morrison's official, I hate to say, YouTube page. You probably won't be on YouTube after we mention it here, but I'm just reading. This isn't a post at thepoliticalcesspool.org or ramseypaul.com. This is Van Morrison's own YouTube channel. And just the top five, I'm just taking the top five off the top of the comments. The media cries out in pain as it strikes you. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize. Third one, very brave Van Morrison, standing up against those who have committed crimes against humanity. We all need to push back. Another one, guess I'm a Van Morrison fan now. Another one, the people who own the media are upset with this song. Van Morrison, a legend for naming. It's all positive, Ramsey Paul. And you see this disconnect.
Well, it's what we've said here before is that at least in the South, liberalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. I think there are a lot of people that really bridle at being ruled over by a liberal governor or a liberal mayor or a liberal city council. And that's the type of people that are doing what Ramsey has done, and they're moving out to the hinterland.
Well, the bottom line is, though, great disconnect in the comment section. We know that 75 million people don't have a voice in the legacy media, but to see those comments, and especially how he has been excoriated, I don't want to spend too much time on Van Morrison. I mean, I'm not making him into a hero, but this is, again, noteworthy.
Yeah, that's been the case a lot with the comment sections across the internet. If you allow comments to be open, they tend to go right wing. And it's interesting. If people are allowed to speak freely, they tend to be more right-wing or populist than otherwise. And I think that's why certain groups put such a premium on censorship, where they want to shut you down. They want to intimidate you. And I don't know, James, if you saw, I was just outraged about this. It's hard for me. I've seen everything. I'm cynical. I was raised kind of cynical, so I don't expect much. That I never thought I'd see the day in America where someone like Lauren Witzke would be lose her bank account because of her political points of views.
Yeah, she's been on the. Well, I was just going to say she's been on the
tuned.
Show. She's been on the show twice, and she was on most recently 2 or 3 weeks ago. And yeah, I saw where, you know, forget credit card processing, which we're all out of that, but. Yeah, she lost her bank account. They took all of her money down to a zero balance, $0 balance.
Yeah,
that's incredible. And she's a sweet girl.
Yeah, they
just confiscated her money. In other words, they didn't take it out of the account and give it to her. They just
eventually give it to her. I think they have to.
Yeah,
but
I think
we'll
after
see.
6 months, they'll have to give it to her. But still, she was in Florida, and I think it was Wells Fargo. And, you know, she has her views, and she's not dangerous. She's an American. She, for God's sake, she ran for Senate in Delaware on the Republican Party. She got like 40.
She was their nominee. I mean, yeah, me and you could put our name on a ballot, but she was the nominee. She won the primary.
Yeah, no good deed will go unpunished.
And because of her views, she was shut down by a major bank. And I don't want to hear about this being, oh, well, they're a private corporation. Well, the Federal Reserve is not private, and they're the ones who bank back the banks. And something's happening because these organizations, they just don't randomly decide to ban people. I mean, Wells Fargo, they're happy to do a business with pornographers. So they don't have any morality. What happens is certain people or certain groups are given these organizations list of saying, we want you to blackball all these people. And it'd be interesting to see who's actually running this operation. And that's where we really need to push back, is the people that are trying to blacklist people for having views in America. And this is, I'm old, I'm 58. So, but this is how old I am. I can remember when the liberals used to say, hey, if you don't like something on TV, just turn the channel, man. That's all you have to do. Let's don't censor. Let's allow everyone to speak. I can remember that, right? Yeah, and now, well, no.
Randy, it reminds me of Vilfredo Pareto. It reminds me of the Italian socialist Vilfredo Pareto in the 19th century, who's probably most noteworthy comment was, when I am weak, I ask you for equality and justice because those are your principles. When I am strong, I deny equality and justice to you because that is my principle. That's the way the left has been from the beginning. Back when they were in a weaker position, they were advocating for freedom of speech and things like this. Now, you know, the mask has come off, and they say that they're showing their true selves to the world.
Exactly. When I was in college, for example, all the left, they hated like the FBI, the CIA, and big corporations. Now the FBI, they're a woke political organization, and the major corporations, they're basically the tool of the left-wing government. That's how the government gets around the First Amendment. They could say, oh, well, we're not going to ban you, the government, but we'll have these handful of corporations ban you. And if you don't think the government influences corporations, you're really naive. They have a lot of power with tax audits and everything else. So if you're a corporation or a business, you better play ball with the government, and you can read between the lines and do what they say.
Well, it's a soft totalitarianism versus a hard totalitarianism. It was interesting, the North Korean defector defector who came and went to an Ivy League school and said that the repression was worse at Columbia than it was in North Korea. That's what happened. And that's all totalitarianism. Yeah, you don't go to jail yet for thinking outside the box, although you do in other Western nations, think Germany especially.
Well, you lose the opportunity to make a living,
that's right,
or to have a career.
Yeah, that's right. That's the soft totalitarianism. So they take away your livelihood.
Yeah, I saw that again. She got in trouble because she liked Jane Austen of all authors, and they like, how can you like her? She was a colonialist, supported white supremacy, and I'm like, Jane Austen? But that's how they are. And I felt bad for her because she said, you know, English is my third language, and these weirdo pronouns now that they want you to say they, when you mean like he or she, you know, that. And I'm like, I feel for you. So, yeah, North Korea was pretty insane, but at least it, in some ways, is more sane than the United States, where we have to pretend that two-year-olds are really trapped in the wrong body or something like
that.
God,
yeah.
North Korea may be bad, but if you want real evil, go to northern part of Manhattan Island.
Yeah, so we have our own problems besides North Korea, and it's sad. We're no longer a free country. We were, but I think those days are gone right now, to be honest.
Not the land of the free, but hopefully we will prove to be the home of the brave.
And I do think it's going to turn. I think that there is a great foreboding. There is something bubbling up. I feel it. I say this all the time, and I don't want to sound like a broken track, but I have lost all that naivete as well. I've been at this my entire adult life. I think something's going to change. There is too much pushback against the narrative, and I think, though, now the plan has to be to continue to build communities, as you're doing, Ramsey, and as we're trying to do, and to stoke the embers and to serve as a shepherd of your flock, to keep the faithful full of hope and full of encouragement and full of truth. But otherwise, do nothing. Don't go out and hasten the day that America fails. We've talked about this on other shows this year with other guests, but America is going to fall. It's a historical inevitability, especially under the weight and the gravity of this whole woke, so-called progressivism. And what progressivism is, it means things are getting progressively worse. America is not going to last, and there isn't anything we should do to go and hasten the day that collapse comes, because you're just going to set yourself up to spend the rest of your life in jail. It's going to collapse whether we do anything or not. What we need to do right now is build communities, keep ourselves safe, don't go out and advocate or certainly do anything violent. Stoke the embers.
Just remember this. This whole era that we're in now started with Dylann Roof, okay? That's, but somebody like him flies through here like Halley's Comet once every 75 years. Now, the only large number of black deaths at the hands of whites are in police work, and that's why we now have all of this, these celebrated causes like George Floyd and Trayvon Martin.
Well, that goes back to what Ramsey Paul was talking about a minute ago with Merrick Garland. And I'd like to follow up on this in the next segment, too, our last segment with Paul today, talking about how extremists who advocate for the white race are the biggest terrorist threat. Okay, well, you're going to point to somebody like Dylann Roof in that, but that, you can count on your hands in my lifetime the number of whites who have taken actions like that, which of course we don't stand for. It's much more common what you see with this black man who went around saying he shot five white people because they were white. All right, we got to take a break. You see black on white murders every single day. We'll be right back.
Liberty News Radio Network.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Stop bitching.
do something. Stop bitching. Do something. Stop bitching. Do something. Stop bitching. Do something.
Now, I'll tell you what, talk about lyrics that get right to the point. Now, that's some heavy-duty lyric writing right there. The second verse is, stop bitching, do something right now. Stop bitching, do something right now. Stop bitching, do something right now. More great music from Van Morrison. And, of course, we are doing something. And we have been. And now others are joining. And they are joining, Paul. Listen, it's what I was saying before. This is going to turn, and there's no doubt about it. And the left, we're at this. Somebody, I don't know who it was, but I read a comment that was interesting, in that the state, we're at this weird point in history where the state is now agitating for its own demise, and that's what the state's doing by encouraging Black Lives Matter and all of these radicals. Merrick Garland, I want to go back to that very quickly, saying that white extremists are the greatest terror threat. Now,
Merrick Garland was supposed to be the moderate candidate that Obama put forth for the U.S.
Right.
Court. We see what a moderate he is now that he's in a position of authority.
This thing, though, about whites being the greatest terror threats, again, you can count on your hands the number of Dylann Roofs that there have been in a lifetime. Whereas,
not in a lifetime, in the history of the nation.
Well, okay? And then the situation, how about Connor Hynant, Cannon Hynant, this six-year-old boy? Like Trayvon Martin could have been Barack Obama's boy. This boy literally looked like my son, who's also six, and was just riding his bicycle. Black man came up, shot him in the back of the head for no reason, riding his bike in front of his own house. Cash Geenan was another one just recently. You have these every single day. You obviously have the big ones like the Knoxville Horror. I was on CNN to debate a member of the NAACP about that one years ago. I wrote a book about all this.
Just consult the Daily Ken. Ken Givitan really keeps up with all of these black-on-white murders, and of course, that's the only place to find it.
He is an absolute anthology on it, and it does happen every day. Dylann Roofs, any sort of white on black murder is practically non-existent. So this gets me back to the point. And that is, what are they really doing here, Ramsey? And I think it's one of two things. I think it is either to further dampen any sort of demonstrations that disaffected whites may have planned, like a January 6th type of thing, is to further dampen that, or it's rhetoric to make the left feel as though they're really going after people. But in actuality, these people do not exist. So-called white extremists that go out killing people, they don't exist. And so because they don't exist, it has to be either one of those two doors.
Other door is the police, okay? That's the only place you get a critical mass of black people being killed.
And that also happens once. That doesn't even happen, because even those narratives are false. So that doesn't even happen. I mean, you have blacks who may die while encountering police, but they're not just being killed in cold blood. So is it one of those two things, Paul? Or otherwise, they're just going to have to come and start arresting conservatives who counter the narrative, because there are no people going out and murdering. There are no true domestic terror threats coming out of the white community.
Yeah, I guess there could be a third option, is they're just kind of insane and they just hate us. Sometimes I've been around people and we like to think our enemy is just like real rational and they have some they have it all planned out, a 4D chess plan. But in some cases, they just spiritually hate white people. They spiritually hate Christians. And you can go into the reasons for that, but I think that's true. And anything to hurt our people, that's what they do. And I think a lot of these people, they just don't really plan it out that much. It's sort of like the Bolsheviks. When they took out, they engaged in widespread murder. Did that help the country? No, it didn't. Did they really have it planned out? No, they didn't know where they were going. So I think people can be irrational and just do crazy and evil things without it having some greater reason or greater objective. It's sad, but it's true. And you're right, because it's amazing how many people, because the media, by the way, is controlled for the most part. And it, based on the media narratives, when you ask a normal person, like, oh, who does the most white mass shootings, right, in the country, mass shootings, the typical answer would be, oh, it's those evil white males. What's the problem with white males and their need to engage in mass shootings? But the statistics is mostly people of color, by far, that engage in mass shootings, not white people. But you wouldn't know that because the media doesn't cover it. For example, that recent guy in Ohio that was targeting and hunting white people to kill, You're not going to get major international news about it. Now, obviously, if the races were reversed, it'd be international news. Biden would be attending the funerals. They would be sobbing. They would be talking about more censorship is needed and so forth. So the media can really drive the narrative so that the average person doesn't see it if they just watch their TV. But now what's happening is getting so bad, people, they can look at with their own eyes in their own neighborhoods, and they're like, well, wait a minute, I'm not really terrified by white guys. That's not the demographic that seems to be causing the problem around here. It's another group, and what's up with this? And so I think the media and the government is losing credibility. And once the government loses trust and credibility, it's about to topple, and I think we're close to that in America.
Well, you know that we still keep hearing about Emmett Till. He was the most important person that ever lived, you know, obviously. And they're still trying to find someone to punish. They're trying to get Carolyn Milam, the woman who he supposedly wolf-whistled at, and find some way that they can go after her. It's just like going after John Demjanjuk, you know, the guy that had been the concentration camp guard. They get him in his 90s, haul him off to Israel, and what they wind up doing is putting him in jail for the rest of his life. Same thing with Edgar Ray Killen, who was a minor player in those Mississippi burning murders. Their lesson is always the same. Nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. On the other hand, all these other things are non-events. It's like we have a new caste system where blacks are the new Brahmins and white males are the untouchables. What the Brahmins do among themselves is of no concern to the untouchables, but if an untouchable dares to strike a Brahmin, then the whole fabric of society is threatened by it. At least it seems that that is a new principle that we seem to be operating under.
Definitely, and sometimes it gets almost humorous. We had a recent mass shooting in Austin, Texas, and the local newspaper media outlet, they put out a thing. Well, we're not going to describe what the suspect looked like because we don't want to perpetuate stereotypes. And everyone was laughing.
No, they want to create new stereotypes.
Well, once they said that, so it's a black guy you're saying, and it was. But it's so humorous how they try to get around that and try to hide it. So, yeah, but how they do it, like with George Floyd or Emmett Till, what they do is they take one incident and they try to dramatize it and personalize it and turn it into a tragedy. It goes back to Stalin's old saying, I don't know if he really said this, but, you know, a death of one person is a tragedy, a death of a million is a statistic. And that's true, and that's what the left likes to do. They ignore the countless murders of white people by blacks, and the few that are the other way around. They get into the human interest stories. They get people, you know, crying and sad, and that resonates with people because it tells the story. Most people, they're not moved by facts or statistics. We can have facts or statistics all day long. They're moved by emotions and a story, a narrative. And that's one of the things that we need to continue to improve on. I think we're doing that. But we need to get not buried just in dry statistics, but telling the stories of our people that have been killed and their lives cut short, you know, bring them up, describe them. I think that's more effective than just a dry reading of the statistics.
Well, Ramsey Paul, you do that as well as anybody. You are a great storyteller. You do it in an entertaining way, which I think is also very important. You're not telling, you know what I mean. But you do it in an entertaining and an informative way. Going back many, many, many years now, I have appreciated your work and appreciated our collaborations when I'm on with you and you're on here. Tell people how they can get all the news that is news from Ramsey Paul.
Yeah, if you just Google Ramsey Paul, I have my videos I do on YouTube and Rumble, and I'm on Twitter, and I want to thank everyone that follows me. We have a really good time, and it's really enjoyable. The best part of what I do is I get to meet people, and it's been such a good experience meeting everyone out there, and it really encourages me. So yeah, we're headed for a tough time, a struggle, but hey, our people have always been faced with struggles. I think it's sort of arrogant of us to think that, oh, we shouldn't have to face any struggles. Our ancestors always did. We have to face these struggles. I believe God put us in this time for a reason. We have our duty, but we will get through this.
I agree with it.
We're resilient.
In the meantime, while we still continue to toil in the vineyard and do the Lord's good work here on this earthly plane, if you're as close as the Ozarks, we got to get you on the other side of the river at least for a little while. And
well, it may be hard to get across that bridge now. Yeah,
well, thankfully they got two. You can't cross the one you would normally cross.
The one that's over 100 years old is sound as a dollar and working great. The one that was built in the late 70s is failing already.
But love to have you over here on this side of the river. And Keith gives a great tour. And do some barbecue, or, you know, we can even pack.
Yeah,
we
got to get together, break some bread. Let's do that. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll make it happen. And until then, everybody, keep hope. I mean, this is something William S. Lynn said, and we read this last week. William S. Lynn's a classic paleoconservative writer. He and Paul Craig Roberts are writing some of the most red meat in your face stuff now. I mean, Paul Craig Roberts, we cite him a lot, this former Reagan administration official. If you go to paulcraigroberts.com and read his articles, you don't hear many former secretaries of the Treasury, United States Treasury, speaking like he does on all of these issues. I mean,
down here in the South, he's strong as Garrett Snuff.
Van Morrison, former Reagan administration officials, all kinds of people, they are saying very strong things. TraditionalRight.com for William S. Lynn, PaulCraigRoberts.com. It is a growing coalition. Thank you, Paul, for your work and all that you do. We'll talk to you again soon. We got the third hour. Yeah, see you soon for sure. We'll see everybody else in the third hour next.
Talk to you guys later.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Okay,